Good morning. How are y'all? Aren't you glad to be here? Okay, so just tell me as we get started here, what are you thankful for this morning? Give me something you're thankful for. Yell it at me. Come on, you just yell it.
My parents.
Your parents. Let's see, school. Family, okay. Good parents. I'm still debating that one. School? Somebody said school? Oh, you. Okay, you're really on drugs this morning. You're too young to be on drugs. But parents and school, what is it you really want? That's where we need to go right now. Okay. All right, this side of the room, what are you thankful for? Health? Okay. All right. What did you say, Peggy? I see a little hand. You'd be able to get up and walk, period, breathe, huh? Absolutely. All right, somebody else, what are you thankful for? Way in the back. Yell. The weekend. Now we're talking. I understand that. We've been looking at, you know, we need to approach life with a thankfulness about it. Did you approach this morning, do you approach Sunday with just being thankful and saying, man, I'm glad that we get to be together with God's people and to look at the issues of that we're coming together. And we just need to have an attitude at times of gratitude. I know as I've been gone on the weekends, it's been, man, I missed it. I miss being here. Even when I was speaking in Tracy, I miss being here with you folks. It's just one of those things that you say, wow, I look forward to that. And it just kind of throws off your week. For me, I hope that's the same for you. Like, you know, man, I miss Sunday. I miss being with God's people. And it throws off my week. It throws off everything about it. We've been looking at games of life. Now, as Ryan said earlier, yesterday we had a men's breakfast. And at the men's breakfast, you know, by the way, he's not in the service, but Frank takes terrible pictures. The picture's up there. Here, he takes a picture. Most of the pictures had a back of the guy's heads. He didn't get the food because I really wanted to prove to all you women that all we ate was yogurt, granola, and fruit. That's all we had. I promise you. Okay, I don't promise you, but it was great. But we had a great men's breakfast. Man, you know, if you missed it, it really was fantastic. Don Britton spoke to us yesterday and challenged us. Man, he just brought the house. I mean, he brought it to us. It was fantastic. And so just guys, and then we stuck around and we did work and renovated some things out, especially in the playground. And so it was really great. And I did some deep theological research yesterday, deep theological research. And I asked the guys a question that I've asked some of our seniors this week. As we're in this theory, the series of the games of life, I've been calling some of our seniors to say, hey, what games did you play when you were a kid? What were the games that you played? And yesterday I made the same mistake. Not mistake. It was a mistake, not the same one. It was a mistake to ask some of the guys what they played as kids. Some of the things I thought, no wonder you're the way you are. You know, you can look and see. But not one of them mentioned the game that we're going to talk about today. Not one. And I think because of that, as I see it, even in my own life, I considered this game to be a girly game. Okay? That's just the game that I thought it was. I thought this game is a girly game. And this game has some components to it, and some of you will figure it out once you know what these components are. There's the scatter, there's the toss, there's the drop, there's a strategy, there's the catch. And if the guys would have realized that even in this game there's kissing, they may have played this game. But they did not understand the kissing. Now, those of you, don't give it away, those of you who want to be the hot spots who were in the last service. But if you know what game I'm talking about, tell me what it is. Jacks. Okay, now, for those of you who are guys, okay, time to truth or tell here. For those of you males who play jacks, I want you to stand up. If you play jacks, okay, you're sure of your manhood. There you go. Okay. All right, you can sit down here. All right, if you're a woman and you didn't play jacks, did not stand up. If you said, I never played jacks. Oh man, it ran in the family. All right, well, I did some deep, it's interesting that Pastor Paul stood for playing jacks and Jen stood for never playing jacks. Because of the research that I did about jacks, the game of jacks, I went online. But let me just tell you, Wikipedia, all those things, they have nothing over Pastor Paul. Nothing. He knew every game. And I'm kind of saying, he knew everything about them. He even knew that problem is if you find one on the floor when your kids play jacks, you know about it in the middle of the night. All this kind of stuff. You play jacks, and man, he had it all down. I guess musicians play jacks, but He had everyone. He had the game. He was telling me about the arch game. Whoever played the arch game, got the arches, kick them through the arches. Only Paul. Have the kingdom game where you sip them into the kingdom. You got that one. Around the world. You play around the world. Okay, this is all I'm learning from Paul. Remember, I never touched this stuff. I mean, I just thought, okay, girly game. I'm not playing this game. Well, come to find out, there is some strategy, and there is some really getting it to it. So last service, this will make sense, hopefully, as we get going here. Last service, I used some of our seniors, or adults, actually. But this morning, I thought, let's share the wealth, and we have such great students. So Onyx, why don't you come on up here for me, okay? Yeah, and Anya, why don't you come on up here, okay? You sat there and were gloating, weren't you? Yeah, you were gloating. Okay, now, according to... Did you ever play Jack?
No, never.
Oh, good. Anya? Oh, two rookies. Great. Okay, yeah. Now, according to what I read, is that you're supposed to have 7. Is that what you folks all read? 10? We'd never get finished. All right, well, this one is a confused Jack. There's 6, 7. Because this one had... One had 8, one had 9. Sorry. 2, 4, 6, 7. Okay, now... Okay, here's this, okay? Here's this. All right, now, remember, there's a great... You guys are rookies here, so these are out. We'll step on those later. Now, don't start that.
I was stretching.
You're cheating already. Now, the object here, there's a lot of this game, because see, what you do is you're supposed to toss the ball up, as I understand it, toss the ball, and the way the game starts is you grab one, and then the ball bounces, and you catch the ball. Very simple, right? You toss it, you grab one, and you catch the ball. Try that for me. Toss it, grab one. Oh, man, you guys, give them the ball here. Yeah, they're going to need the ball. Let's try that again, okay? You're going to toss it and grab one and catch the ball. Are you challenged? Okay. So, now, here's where it is with... Thank you, Mike. Here's where it is. With the kissing involved, don't get nervous. I'm not going to kiss you, Onyx. I know what you were thinking. Oh, okay. We got you on equal ends of the... I might kiss you. Okay? All right.
Where's the holy water?
Oh, man. There you go. Cleanse. Be cleansed. Okay. Onyx, this is not healthy for this. Okay? You and I. Okay. All right. Now, control. I got to get back. And there's notes over there someplace, but we lost those already. So... Now, here's the thing. There is kissing involved. Because, see, if these jacks touch like that, that's called kissing. But as I understand it from the last service, you can just drop them again, but then they're kissing again. So you got to, you know, all in toss. All right, so let's try this again. I want you just to bounce it and grab one. Mike, you better be on ball control here. Ready? You're going to bounce it. Here, what if we just put one there for you, you know? Okay. You love me, huh, Anya? Yeah, okay. You won't after this. Okay, you're going to toss it. Grab one and grab the ball. Same hand. Ready? Go. No, you have to let the ball bounce.
Okay. Oh, let it bounce?
Yeah, you got to let it bounce.
I have to let it bounce?
Yes.
Oh.
You toss it, pick it up, bounce, and catch it. All right? That worked for it well. Okay. Ready? Go. Okay. You don't have to wait for the ball to bounce to pick up the jack. You pick up the jack quickly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you toss it, pick it up. All right, let's try this one more time. We're never going to get to the twosies, because the way you play this is you get the onesies all of the one at a time, and then you go to twosies, all of them, up until, like, we have 7. We're never going to get there. This message is going to be done quickly. All right, we'll do this one more time to see if you can do this. Ready? You're going to toss it, pick it up quickly, same hand, and then catch the ball after it bounces. Ready? Try it. Pick it up quickly. Okay. Okay. Haley, come here. Just stay right here. Come here. Okay. We're going to do something here. Haley, this is it. No, you're going to toss. When she tosses that, would you just pick that up for her? Okay? All right. And then all you have to do, focus on the ball. Okay? Drop the ball. You're going to get it. She's going to pick it up for you. This is a team effort now. Okay? Team game. Ready? All right. Okay. You got to do one more here. Are you ready? You ready? You set? Go. There you go. All right, here, you kids. You can't play during church, but you know Pastor Paul would love a rousing game of jacks. I just promise you, it's an eye at you. Okay, sit down. Okay, give him a hand. Now the issue of jacks. You say, what in the world is this message about? Why are we doing the games of life? And part of that's fun, which we'll come to. Anya, did you feel any pressure when you were up here? And I'm telling you, you got to do this. Did you feel like you're getting pressure? Like, oh, but I better do this. Yeah, Onyx only felt pressure when I was going to kiss him, but that's okay. The reality is, when we do this, I consider that a girl's game, so I never did it. You'll notice I didn't volunteer to do that either. I mean, I tried this, actually, and I'm not very good at that. But the reality is, I thought, it's a girl's game. We play jacks. They play jacks. But it's not. But the pressure that comes, all of the pressure, whether it be Onyx, and the first service we had two adults trying to do it, and they didn't do it, they were going everywhere. And Kathy Lyle said she was a champion jack player. Probably in a former life, not compared to today. Why? If any of you tell her I said that, you know, yeah, back there. Okay. She was a champion. She stood up and I said, which of you girls felt like you were had it mastered? She stood right up. She came up here and the pressure got to her. The pressure, standing up here, you know, you get nervous, all these people looking. And a lot of the pressure that we have in our life, we bring on ourselves, even in the games that we play in our life. And it's fine to have pressure of a game, isn't it? It's a game. They're sitting back down there now. Oh boy, it's fine. It's over with. The pressure was there, but it's done. But when the pressure of our life becomes like a pressure in a game and we live into that pressure cooker situation, it becomes bad in our lives. Our blood pressure goes up. Everything goes up. And the pressure increases the more and more that you're wanting to grab. We never got past one, really. You go through all the ones, you go through the twos. The game's over when you get all of them at one swoop. You know, you get all seven of them or eight, however many you're playing with. There's other games we didn't even talk about. You know, they couldn't get the drop and the catch one. But there's around the world, Pastor Paul was telling me about, you poof it up, you take it, you go around the ball, and you catch it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All these things that add pressure. Now, it can be played alone, obviously. How many of you play jacks by yourself? You just no one around. I should have chose you. Yeah. It can be played alone. But isn't it much more fun to play with others, to see what they're doing, even here? If you weren't here, if this would have just been Anya and Onyx and I standing here and we were going to practice for Sunday and you folks weren't here, even though the three of us were here, it wouldn't be nearly the fun as we had with all of you watching, some of you laughing, some of you encouraging, some of you saying, Pastor Bill just kissed him on the head, you know, all of these kind of things. It's much more fun that way. And within that, it can be played alone. And you know what, as we come to Jack's, the issue here, as I relate to the church, some of us like to just play church alone. Some of you want to come in and be anonymous. Some of you want to just don't get involved, just stand back, and don't push me to do anything. Don't challenge me to do anything. And the issue is, but the game of church, not the game as in, okay, I'm trying to put my mask on and fake you out. But the game, this life, this thing that we call church, is meant to be shared with others. Hebrews tells us that. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds and playing jacks. That's free. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Church sometimes becomes so optional in our life, doesn't it? Being with God's people becomes so optional in our life. And the church is to give life, the abundant life. We're in a corporate way to worship. We are in a corporate way to come together to encourage one another. Don't give it up so easy. And yet we do, don't we? I don't feel bad. My lumbago into my lumbigo into the whatever is hurting. I'm not going. We give it up, or our nose gets out of snit for something, and I'm not going. I just can't handle that. All the issues, and yet church is important to us for life, for encouragement, for support, and for us to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, to do the things that God wants us to do. As Don brought it yesterday about the salt, that we are the salt, that we are to be the salt. He brought it down. This is part of this issue of where we gain our flavor, where we impact others, the salt, the light, the ambassadors. It is amazing to me as I see it when people are struggling, when some of you are struggling in your faith. Maybe something isn't going so well. Maybe God let you down and your expectations have been dashed. The first thing you want to do is not come. You want to shrink away and stay away from the very place that God says you should be, to gain support, to gain the encouragement of somebody around you being able to hug you and not play the game of church and say, how are you? Oh, I'm just great. When your life is falling apart. But to enjoy the encouragement, I better put this lid on or I'm going to be swinging at the front row. You would like that. No. The issue is we say, man, I don't want to go life group because I'm struggling. I don't want to go to church because I'm struggling. And that's where we need to be, because we're not perfect people. And when we bring that idea that we're the perfect people to be perfect together, and boy, I can't go because everybody else there is perfect and I'm struggling. And you all know that's not the case, don't you? None of us have it all together. Man, there's been loss, there's been hurt. All those people come together. And that's the body of Christ. The tendency is, all of our tendency, I think, at times, is when tough times come, is what do? We kind of hunker down. Want to pull in close, pull a cover over our head, shrink, don't we? That's what we want to do, just hunker down. When the reality is we need to say, man, I'm weak, I'm wounded, I'm hurt. And in our life groups, it's life together. Life groups are about doing life together. Not just all the good things, not just all the bad things, but life, the sweet and the sour, together. People will come at times, they'll come in and say, you know, they'll use the church universal initially. The church of God is failing to do. You'll hear preachers preach that. The church of God is failing, and they'll do the generalization of all of the universal church. And in many ways, church universal's failing. Yeah, you betcha. And then they'll bring it down to a personal, like, you know, Bill, our pastor, I feel our church is failing in this and failing in that. And I sit there at times, and I am usually pretty kind, usually. But I sit there and I look and I'm wondering, where did your theology come from? Because the reality is, as I look at the person who may be saying, our church is failing in this, I'm looking and saying, you are the church. You. Not this building, not this, not these lights, not the brick and mortar. You are the church. And if the church is failing in something, maybe you need to say, God, maybe you're giving me the burden to say, I need to be a part of this. And yet when I turn that around to some people and say, well, maybe God's put this on your heart because you need to take up you need to take that mantle up and see that maybe this is something that you need to do, all of a sudden the responsibility changes. It's easy to come and say, we need to do this, as in you and somebody else, like me and someone else, versus that person taking the responsibility of it. But we are the church, and the failure thereof, there are churches, and our church is lacking, and there's all, every church does. It doesn't mean that we withdraw and stay away. A lot of times we hear, well, I'm too busy. I'm just too busy to do that. I'm too busy to serve. I'm too busy to be involved. And the reason they're too busy is because they're grabbing for more. They're grabbing for more. They're tossing the ball up in the air and say, I can get one. But if I can get one, maybe two is even better. Toss the ball up in the air and you're prescribing your own pressure by, I got to get more, I got to get more, I got to get more. And we chase that proverbial, I got to get all the jacks. Because when I win all the jacks, I win the game. And many times the goal of jacks becomes the goal of our own life, having it all. I've got to have it all and grab it all. I got to take it all. And we add our own pressure because we're tossing the ball because I got to pay for everything I want. I got to go get everything I want. It's got to be based upon me going to get it to win this game. There's some passages I want to run through quickly. Luke chapter 12. It's a parable. He says, then he said to them, this is Jesus, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry, play jacks. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. We look at James chapter 4, who talks about our life. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. One version says you are a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to be saying, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sins. Lastly, look at Matthew chapter 6, which we know this verse so well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Yeah, right. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, the parable of the guy who had too much, God is not one that says you can't have abundance. The parable wasn't about this guy, man, he made more than he needed. No. It was that he became self-dependent. I've got enough stored up for tomorrow. I'll build bigger barns. I don't need to depend on anybody. I've gained. I've won the game. I've got all the jacks. I've got all I need. I'm just going to sit back. I don't need to depend upon anybody. And in our life, as we always go for more, thinking, if I just get this, that'll give me significance. If I just get this, it'll give me purpose. If I just get this degree or this thing or drive this or have this or own this or this account, then I will be set. And the pressure we put on ourselves to get more and more and more will keep us from being content, will keep us from saying, God, this is what my life is. Always grabbing for more. Now, you know the analogy. You can make it in the application in your own heart. I love the fact that neither Onyx nor Anya had ever played jacks. But I guarantee that pretty soon, Anya's going to take those jacks I gave her. Pastor Paul will probably have to teach her. But she'll take those jacks, and if she practiced, she may could get one. Anya, I'm glad you love me. But if she practiced, she'd get one, and then she'd be thrilled, wouldn't she? She'd be thrilled. I did it. I can get another one. But when she went to get another one, or when we went to Toosies, she may fail. I'm done. I'm never going to play jacks again. That's stupid. I'm not doing this ever again. I'm never going to. That's dumb. That's what people play, isn't it? But the issue of our life is that we practice and practice, and there's failure, and then we continue to move on and practice and practice, and we will fail, and we move on, and we move on. That's the issue of our life. None of us here are perfect. We're all on a journey to be conformed to the image of Christ. And there's sometimes that in our life, man, we fail. It doesn't mean we just say, well, forget it. I'm not even going to try. Everybody at that church is perfect. I can't go there. No, it means that you dust yourself off and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for grace. Let me move on and continue again. Continue again. Pretty soon you'll realize, well, I've got the onesies down. That's no big deal anymore. And I'm struggling with this. We go on, we practice, we fail, and we continue. We say, God, I need your strength. Why do you play a game? Why do you play any game? When you play a game, why play? Why do you play? To win? Have fun? Now, some people say, well, we play to win. Really? Just to win? Man, how many of you, honest engine, are poor losers and worse winners? Yes. Thank you, Paul, raising his hand. Thank you. How come it's mostly male? Mostly male. Not all. Yeah, okay. There's an honest woman back there. Yeah. Man, to play to win. Have you seen that? I mean, some people, man, if they can't win, their life's done. They're mad. Forget it. And you don't even want to play games with them because they get all snitty. You know, it's not like, okay, the game's over. Let's go have some ice cream. No, they're mad. We laugh about it in movies. We laugh about it in movies, you know, that here's Chevy Chase, going to put the smack down on his kids, man, playing game. Yeah. We laugh about that thing, how terrible. But then we ourselves will come to the same point, and we're putting the smack down on our 7-year-old or 6-year-old in the game of fish. Yeah, Pat Paul's raising his hand back there. I'll teach you. Yeah, Jackson, you'll never beat me, man. You know, the issue of our life. Sorry, Paul. Well, it's true, but no. But the issue of man, so much of our life is focused on winning. And if you're a believer today, let me just challenge you. The game is already won. We know the end. We know what the end result is. We know what the life of Christ is all about. We know that he died for us, made us a new creation. We know that he's forgiven us. We know when the game at the end, you pass Monopoly, don't pass Go, whatever you're going to get. Listen, we know the end of this game is that we'll be with him forever in eternity. And the life of our life. But the issue here, can I challenge you, and some of you theological melonheads will not like this at all. You don't like the fact that I'm comparing the Christian life to a game. But let me just tell you, just give me a little latitude here. Some of you need to realize that part of the Christian life is having fun. Godly, Christian, good fun. Not having this mess. Some of you look like you live in the morgue, and you live that way. There is no life. He came that we might have life. You know what? You can say, God came. I believe the kingdom of God is going to be a party. I believe our worship is going to be a party. I believe our time with God is going to be rejoicing and fellowshipping. And yet some of you, you shudder when I even think you can have fun in the Christian life because you came up from this legalistic, no, I'm pious. I've got to have this spiritual mantle that I can't let. Listen, the world doesn't need to see that. They need to see that, you know what, those guys, they have fun. I'm a little long. Let me just tell you. I was in Cabo years ago. Some of you know this story. I don't like alcohol. I have no problem with those who drink if they can control that. I'm not a legalist. However, I don't like it. I just don't care for it personally. Not a spiritual issue. It's just a gag reflex. That's what is for me. Okay. Anyway, I was going to say something that I usually say, but probably not appropriate. Anyway, I've already kissed you on the head. What do I have to lose? But we were in Cabo, and I had my daughter and my adopted daughter, Amber, and we were down in Cabo. And we were one night, we were just sitting around on the cabana, and they were having this band play, and they were going to have a dance contest. Now, it's really fun. I enjoy going at times to watching people who are maybe overdone in their alcohol make fools of themselves. It's great fun, okay? So I know, and I can see you're going to say, why are you talking about this? Write the note. I don't care. So here's the thing. Amber and I decide we're going to join this dance contest. We don't drink. We won the dance contest. The next day, this guy comes up to me and says, man, you got a headache? Do I know you? No, I saw you last night dancing, and I figured you got a headache after being drunk like that. No, I don't drink. The guy looks at me and says, you did that sober? Yeah. Yeah. The point is, there's times of life. You know, I live wanting to see the wonder of God on display, and sometimes we just need to laugh. Some of you are upset because I'm talking about alcohol, and you won't even laugh here. You just can't bring yourself to do it. And the kingdom of God is a party. Do you think that God called us? God said, I called you to have an abundant life, so get morose and just get down and wear sackcloth and ashes. The world doesn't need to see that. In fact, what scares me, quite frankly, I have noticed that we often respond, we who are believers often respond exactly as the world responds to circumstances and trials and suffering. They see no difference in us. We don't respond in joy. It doesn't mean that everything is happy. We've had people who have had loss. We've lost kids. We've lost spouses. We've had bankruptcies and homes, all bad and suffering things that go on. And yet when we respond exactly like the world does of unbelievers, We deny so much. When we complain, we doubt, we withdraw from the things of God. When we wallow, I understand not everything's good and not everything's happy, but he still says we can have joy within that. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Now listen to me. When we wallow in our misery of whatever circumstance we may face, we deny the command of God to be joyful. We deny the command of God. And we totally dismiss that God is a sovereign God and has a plan. When you respond as the world does, and you throw up your hands, and you say, oh, the world doesn't see any different. When things are going well, it's like, oh yeah, bless God. When things get bad, oh God. And yet we need to respond as understand that God has a plan for our life. Man, can you find the joy this morning? Are you grabbing more, just trying to get more and more just to win? Your purpose being fulfilled by having more? Or do you stop and say, I know who's going to win. It's part of the journey here in my Christian life to see the wonder of God on display, to live in joy, to be contagious within that, that my circumstances and my failures are not going to keep me from living in the joy of the Lord, living that abundant life, that changed life, because that's what he calls us to live. Can we laugh? Can we rejoice? Can even in the midst of grief have hope and joy? Yes, we can. Let's pray. Father, this morning, your own word tells us that laughter is a good medicine. It's good for the heart. And I realize that not everything is good. I realize that there's times that are just bad. But in the midst of that, you tell us that we can have joy. Joy that you are with us. Joy and thankfulness that you have a plan. That doesn't mean that everything is good. But it does mean that you see us, you've never left us, you will not leave us, and that you can bring glory to yourself through this. So God, I pray that today as we leave here, we will think of the game of jacks and not be the one who has to get all of it together and think that's how we win the game, but that we have joy and laughter in the journey of conforming to the Lord Jesus. This journey that we as a church together take that we value people, all people, that we value and we try to help and encourage and stimulate other people. May it never be about ourselves. May it be about you. May the world see in us the joy of the Lord today. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.